For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. Conservative commentator Milo Yiannopoulos is planning to come to Tulsa soon for a public speaking event. Recently, he talked to KRMG's Russell Mills about the plans and the challenges he's been facing putting the event together.
We're here with Milo Yiannopoulos. I hope I said your name close enough to be correct.
You did. I sometimes get it wrong myself.
So what brings you to Tulsa, Oklahoma? Because obviously, you go to college campuses. You speak quite often. I'm interested to know what your message is, but first off, why here? Why TCC? Were you invited or did you choose?
I was invited, but I've wanted to come for some time because this is one of the states that inexplicably I haven't visited, although I have a huge fan base here and by all accounts very popular here. So I did get an invitation from somebody who wants to bring me down, and we're currently scouting out venues. We've had an interesting journey with Tulsa Community College, trying to get them to fulfill their First Amendment obligations is fortunately, I'm the kind of person who likes solving puzzles and I enjoy challenges. Otherwise, this kind of stuff would drive you crazy. But these organizations who fundamentally don't like conservatives very much, they don't even like libertarians very much. Their weaponry is bureaucracy, and they can spend all the time in the world and all the money in the world making your life a nightmare just trying to rent a hall to talk to people. So it's been extraordinary. And in that respect, Oklahoma is no different from anywhere else. But I love the people here are nice. I knew they would be. This is one of those states I've wanted to visit for a long time.
So here you are. What is the goal? What do you want to say? What is the message? Let's just go there first.
Well, since I started talking on college campuses 2015-16 about things you're not allowed to say in American public life, things have got worse, not better. Now, it's becoming almost impossible to speak plainly, and I'm talking about respectable, reasonable, mainstream conservative opinions, nothing on the fringe, nothing extreme. I don't believe anything or say anything that 60 million Americans don't agree with. But it's becoming very difficult to speak about certain subjects, honestly, Islam, for instance, feminism, certainly, without risking professional disaster. And for so long as that's the case, for as long as you can be fired, have your life ruined, your relationship destroyed, your reputation dragged through the mud for expressing perfectly respectable conservative points of view, there'll always be a need for me. I don't want everyone to be like me. I'm a bomb thrower. I'm a provocateur. I go and I say, things that people are thinking, and I also say things that people are definitely not thinking. And my purpose is to get a reaction, to get attention, but then to say something of substance to make people think and hopefully to entertain them. I don't want everyone to be a provocateur, but I think it's important that we have some in culture. And for so long as regular Americans are unable to freely express their political points of view at work without risking being fired, and you can be fired from your job for a crime as innocuous as admitting that you voted for the current president. For so long as that obtains, I think there's a need for me on campuses and a need for me in culture.
It's interesting. You're familiar with Dennis Miller?
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed him about a year ago, and he was talking about how he's almost like done going out because having to be politically correct makes it almost impossible to do his job, mm-hmm. which is simply observe and talk and express opinions. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the PC era seems to have gotten a little out of control. What I'm hearing you saying is, well, if I throw a few firebombs around, maybe people will build up their resistance a little bit, but at the heart of that has to be some kind of message that makes some kind of sense.
Right. And the thing that I'm focused on at the moment is a restoration of Christianity, of the Christian faith into American public life. Christianity is what underpins Western civilization. It isn't democracy. It's not the First or Second Amendment. It's not capitalism. It's not the rule of law. It's Christianity. It's God. That's what makes the West how it is. It's what makes the West great. And without Christianity, everything falls apart, and it is falling apart. And it's the only antidote we have against radical Islam. It's the only antidote we have against people being grotesque to each other. It's the only antidote we have against political correctness and identity politics. It's the best antidote we have against racism. As anyone who's studied a little bit knows a little bit about Christianity knows, when Christianity started to take root in the Middle Ages, it replaced tribalism. Instead of caring whether somebody was black or white, whether they were, you know, Western European or from the Middle East or whatever, all people cared about was whether or not you were Christian. It's the ultimate antidote to racism. And it's the ultimate antidote, actually, to most social ills. And it creates a wonderful society. But it has been systematically eradicated from public life by the progressive left over the past 3 or 4 decades. And I think it's about time that Christianity made a comeback.
All right. So you're talking about Christianity as if it was some sort of monolithic thing. It isn't.
And Christians, well, I'm a Catholic, so for me it is.
Okay. And we can get to that. So Christians have spent most of that time since the Middle Ages killing each other based on what flavor of Christianity. They're still doing that. I mean, you grew up not too far from Northern Ireland, right? It's just down the road from you. Catholics in particular in this part of the country are often vilified. My kids who went to school, who were raised Catholic, were told they were not Christian. They were Catholic. So I'm kind of interested how you would reconcile the idea of this all-embracing Christianity that's all love. And from where I'm sitting, it's as bad as Islam as far as being schismatic and splitting into sides and killing each other over interpretations of their religion.
It is definitely not as bad as Islam in any respect, on any front, on any subject, not in body count or ideological schisms or anything else. I think the best way to think about this is that people are going to get into conflict with one another over all manner of things. I'd rather they did it about God than skin color. I'd rather people had religious conflict than conflict over gender. Or some other kind of ludicrous category, indeed. And the fact is that Christianity isn't like other religions. So Feuerbach, the German atheist philosopher, said you can tell what the core values of a society are by looking at the religion that is embedded in that society and seeing what it holds most dear. So for Islam, that's something like obedience and willingness to follow the rules, submission, as the name says. For Christianity, the highest virtues, the greatest, noblest goals for a person, well, what does Christianity most value? It's the cross. It's self-sacrifice and love. And those are pretty good things to build a civilization on. And by and large, where you find Christianity, you find people being nice to one another. The Baylor Institute, which does a lot of good work in this, shows that you don't even have to be a Christian or believe in the literal truth of Christianity to see simply from the numbers that Christians are nicer to each other than everybody else. If you want a happy, harmonious, generous society, make everyone Christian. Christians are just generally nicer and happier people. And yes, of course, there are always going to be, historical conflagrations and conflicts and all the rest of it. But in general, the scales are not even remotely equivalent. There have been some wars and some conflicts that have been fought because people had a particular flavor of Christianity or didn't. But think of what Christianity has given Western civilization, that the very idea of the individual ultimately comes from Christianity. Consensual marriage, chivalry, all sorts of things that elevated women to a position they were never in prior to the Middle Ages. The end of racism up until progressives decided they wanted to unwind Christianity. Self-reflection, the whole psychotherapy industry comes from the confessional booth. And the thing that Christianity gave, which Islam doesn't have, which is its most valuable gift to us, is joy. Everywhere you look in middle-aged carvings, you see early Christians or gargoyles, sort of having fun, pulling faces. Medieval Christians were always just about to burst into song or just about to dance or they just finished doing one of those things. It's quite clear, even if you are not a person of faith, looking at studies done by places like the Baylor Institute, that if you want to build a happy, harmonious, generous, and kind society, that Christianity is the best way to do it that we have yet come up with as a species. It's interesting that it's been eradicated from public life, but entirely predictable because this has happened systematically over the course of decades. And it's come from the progressive left, which cannot admit of any threat or rival power center to the state. progressives don't want people thinking that, you know, God is the bee's knees, because it reduces the presence of the state in their lives. They want government to take that place. This is one of the reasons progressives have sort of systematically eradicated Christianity. And it began with the most effective weapon that we have in our arsenal, ridicule. If you remember 20, 30 years ago, Christians were being laughed at on television as ridiculous. And that's how they got driven out of public life. Now, I'm occasionally accused of being a little bit mean or a little bit, you know, mean-spirited. No. It's hard to believe, I know.
You seem like a nice guy.
I know. People are always very disappointed that I'm not awful. Sometimes people accuse me of being a bit mean-spirited. What I'm doing is simply leveraging the most effective and powerful tool we have at our disposal, our rhetorical disposal, which is ridicule. It's a very, very powerful way to reveal hypocrisy, to make people, to educate people while you make them laugh, and to hold out. You know, it is one of the things that Protestants sometimes forget that I think Catholics have a better handle on, is it is right and proper to hate the hateful. You know, outrage does have a proper place. It is a normal and healthy human reaction. Now, the progressive left and the Twitter mobs and all the rest of it have sort of taken it and ruined it. But there is a proper place for outrage. We should be outraged when we see Democrats celebrating about passing legislation that effectively makes infanticide legal. That should drive us to fury and to outrage. It's normal and it's right that we should have that response, because we should hate hateful things like we should love lovely things. And so when I'm sort of ridiculing social justice warriors or, you know, Ilhan Omar or whatever, I'm using that principle that it is right and proper to hate the hateful, and the best weapon at our disposal, ridicule, to indulge in Christian joy and mischief, which would have been very familiar to Christians in the Middle Ages. But I think that perhaps American Protestant Christianity is quite joyless. It's a bit like Islam in that respect these days. And if I think if American Christians were to rediscover some of the original joyfulness of Christianity, black churches still have it, actually. And they're the only places that do. White evangelical Christianity in this country is funless, joyless, and pretty soul-destroying. Black churches here are the only Christian churches that still hold on to that medieval sense of joy and abandon, you know, being entered into by the Holy Spirit, less of it. I think we need a bit more of that. I quite like to see more of that. And by and large, people who go to those churches are pretty good people who treat other people pretty well. So if I can encourage people to be well and to be happy and to treat others well by holding up hateful things for ridicule, whether it's a congressperson, a congresswoman who clearly detests Jews, or whether it is, you know, some other ludicrous thing in public life, with all of the power and the resources at the left's disposal, the terrible and disgusting ways they talk about Republicans, talk about Christians, talk about straight white males, I think that one Miley Yiannopoulos is probably tolerable for them.
If somebody goes to your speech, which I guess is still pending, right? The venue's still trying to work out.
Well, we're just figuring out. I mean, they have been truly remarkable. We asked, you know, can we book the venue?
Right.
So we get a contract back where Tulsa Community College is trying to hold back 410 of the seats in a 1,500-seater venue for their own guests. What do they want to do? Bring in protesters? You know, I don't know what they're planning to do with those 400 seats, but deeply sinister and terrifying. They say, oh, it's for press that'll be credentialed by us. Yeah, sure.
400?
400.
Okay.
If we sell tickets for whatever, that's like $29,000 that they're just sort of not letting us earn because they can, because of whatever. And that's not even the half of it. You know, the Tulsa Community College has sent us one of the most remarkable contracts I've ever seen. I've been doing this a really long time, and I've never seen a contract like the one I've got from Tulsa Community College, where they say no private security. They effectively want to okay my speech before I deliver it. 14 days ahead of time, we have to give a detailed plan for the event. They want to keep 410 seats behind. We aren't allowed to bring pressurized containers, so the makeup artists can't bring hairspray in. The most amazing array of bureaucratic fudges and attempts to sort of wrongful the event. They picked the date for us, didn't give us an option, said this is the only one, and they gave us between 2 and 4 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon. How many people are going to come to a speech between 2 and 4 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon? Nobody, and they know it, and that's why they gave us that slot. So of course we're pushing back on all of that. We're resisting all of these petty bureaucratic attempts to derail the event. None of them are going to work. But this is what people sometimes don't realize. They buy a ticket, they show up, they have a good time, they listen to me speak, and everything's wonderful. They don't realize the extraordinary, the Herculean effort it takes to bully, humiliate, intimidate and harass these public institutions into doing their duty by the First Amendment, into following the law. Tulsa Community College leapt to tell the press that they believe in the First Amendment while sending me a contract saying that they had to approve my speech before I delivered it in case it was obscene. Who gets to decide what's obscene? So if I drop the C-bomb on stage, they're going to stop the event. And by the way, there's another clause in the contract they sent us saying they can stop the event at any time for any reason and they keep all the money. No, thanks. It's layer after layer after layer.
And I will tell you, I called their public relations person yesterday, who used to work here, used to work in this newsroom. And she not only would not comment, would not answer my questions, would not even read their written statement so that I could have a voice for the radio. I told her, you know, Nicole, written statements make lousy radio. Nope, didn't happen. So I get where they're pulling back. So let me ask you this.
They've even refused to deal with my booking agent.
Is there?
Because they want to. I mean, it's like, I'm a busy person. I'm on flights every 2 days. I have staff. I have a life. And they, as a way of trying to derail the event, have named one person who's the only person that they're going to deal with just to create chaos. Just so that the person who I employ to do this for me, my booking agent, who is responsible for booking and securing venues, who has experience doing this, who is my representative we won't speak to him. We'll only speak to this person. Sorry to interrupt you. I'm sure I know
it's all good.
To say, but the level of obfuscation and bureaucratic meddling and tomfoolery is jaw-dropping. And this is coming from somebody, remember, whose speech had half the town of Berkeley burnt down. This is coming from somebody who's dealt with UC Davis and, you know, UW Seattle, some of the most intransigent and left-wing college administrations in the country. I don't think I have ever seen a contract as outrageous and insane as the one that I've just been sent by Tulsa Community College. So, can't tell you when the date will be yet, but it will be happening. We will be finding a date, and it will not be 2 to 4 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon.
All right,
and we'll work on getting those clauses and terms struck out so we can do a successful event.
One more question: you have one of the premier Christian universities in the world, right down the road here. It's private. Talking about Oral Roberts University. Mm-hmm. Why not approach them?
Often, I don't know that university. Hmm? Often private universities are even worse. All universities are left-wing, but private universities don't have to abide by the First Amendment. They don't have to be politically neutral, and they aren't obligated to make space for speakers. Private universities can simply say, we're not renting that hall to you because we don't like you. And you would be amazed if you look at the supposedly religious schools in America, and there are a couple of exceptions. But look at, for instance, DePaul, a nominally Catholic university in Chicago, one of the most left-wing establishments in the country, completely mental, has derailed speeches by me, Ben Shapiro, like you name it, DePaul has got in the way of it. So private colleges, by and large, are way more trouble than they're worth. So I try to stick to public schools because they have there are all kinds of bureaucratic hurdles that universities can put up to stop conservatives and libertarians speaking on campus. But the big one is, are they required to make space for me if somebody wants to hear me speak? And private universities aren't.
All right. Well, listen, fascinating to sit and talk with you. I wish we had more time, but thank you for coming. Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, that's been lovely. Just keep an eye out on dangerous.com and on my Facebook page for the information about the event. And it's been fun being down here and scoping out venues. And I will let everybody know as soon as I can when we've come to an agreement with this mischievous community college.
Outstanding. Please do keep us in the loop.
Milo Yiannopoulos, special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective. For Cox Media Group, I'm Burt Williams.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.